This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time for our weekly check-in with Michigan Radio Sports commentator John Ubakin. A lot of trading and drafting and old-fashioned wheeling and dealing that's been going on, both in hockey and basketball. First, let's go to the NHL and break it down for us, John. Exactly what happened between Detroit and Arizona with Pavel Datsyuk's salary cap?
It's almost impossible to explain, Cindy, so I'll try to make it as simple as I can. Datsyuk does not want to play in Detroit. He wants to go back to Russia, which you think, okay, no big deal. But the Wings are stuck with $7.5 million of his salary cap salary, even though they're not going to pay him because this is the NHL is all I can tell you.
So what did each side get?
The main thing the Wings got is unloading a $7.5 million burden under the salary cap. So now they've got $7.5 million to play with to get somebody big like, say, Stamkos from the Tampa Bay Lightning. What Arizona got was a couple of things. One is the chance, albeit slim, I think, of getting Datsyuk to play in Arizona. Two, they flip-flopped with Detroit a first-round 16th pick for a 20th pick. So Detroit goes from 16 to 20. Arizona goes from 20 to 16. Frankly, it's nothing. But it's a big deal to Detroit. Detroit got the better deal here. And now they can look to the future and possibly get a guy like Stamkos, the star of Tampa Bay. You might have seen him beat up on Detroit the last two playoffs.
Yeah.
And they need somebody like that. And keep in mind, too, it's crucial they not fall to now. Why? Because in the fall of 2017, they open a new stadium. You can't open a new stadium with a crappy team. So they have got to gear up, get whatever they can get, max out the salary cap and all that, and they're going to go all in right now.
So let's pivot over to the NBA draft, and I'm interested in your thoughts on the draft results for some pretty big names in college athletics in this state. Wondering how you'd grade the moves for the player and the team, starting with MSU's Denzel Valentine going to Chicago in the 14th overall pick.
By all accounts, a great guy, one of Izzo's favorite players of all time, which is saying a lot. He was supposed to go lower than his teammate Deonta Davis, who is a freshman, a one-and-done guy. And in fact, the NBA flipped this around, so you never know what's going to happen until they start picking you. And for Denzel, it's a great move. For Chicago, I think it's a very good move. Slight injury risk, but I think that's negligible given what you what the upside is.
And for Deonta Davis, that one and done, he had to sit there and sit there and sit there before going in the second round, getting picked by Boston, who are packing him off to Memphis.
That's right. That's how it goes, right? Boston picks you, and you end up in Memphis somehow. But Tom Izzo, their coach, sat next to him near the end of that because he was getting so dejected. There are only two rounds in the NBA draft, and this might be a cautionary tale. For all those players who want to leave early, it might not always be the best idea.
How about Caris LeVert from Michigan? He missed those 14 games with a broken foot, but went to the Brooklyn Nets, number 20?
A bit of a miracle, really, because he's had so many problems with his left foot. He wrote a wonderful letter, by the way, about how difficult it was to grow up without his dad and fight these injuries. And I think it had an actually very positive effect. We might be seeing more letters in newspapers from players in the future.
Should also tip the hat to Oakland's Kay Felder, who's a junior getting picked by the Cavaliers, 54th overall.
This guy is 5'9", Cindy. I am 5'8". The Cavaliers are not calling me currently for this or anything else. This guy also has the second best all-time NBA combine jump of 44 vertical inches. So 5'9", how to get drafted? You can jump almost 4 feet.
Finally, we have to note a moment in sports history. Veterans, Tigers fans are going to find this very hard to believe. It's 40 years ago tomorrow that America tuned into ABC's Monday Night Baseball and met Tigers rookie pitcher Mark the Bird Fidrich.
I was an 11-year-old kid, one of the greatest summers of my life. I will not forget that as long as I live. You watched it yourself, I believe.
Uh-huh.
It's when Bird went national, and it didn't change him at all. Still getting on his hands and knees to groom the mound with his hands, the dirt in his hands, talk to the baseball, run around the infield after a good play, cheering on his teammates. They loved playing for the guy. He finished his games in 2 hours. They go twice as long now. Bird was awesome.
He filled stadiums. He won. He was endearing. And then a year later, it's all over.
It is, pretty much.
What happened?
He dragged it out, but very quirky. In spring training, he's shagging fly balls, which means screwing around in the outfield during practice, and tore his knee. Now, once you tear your knee, you think, okay, that's a knee problem, not an arm problem. But then you come back too soon, and you change your delivery, and now you've got an arm problem because you're not throwing the ball the same way. So his career was never the same. But one glorious summer that we will never forget, and the guy was so cool, and he was cool to the day he died. He never changed.
Yes, in fact, that was April 2009, that tragic accident on his farm. But yeah, a very big moment for Tiger fans in their history.
Absolutely.
Michigan Radio Sports commentator John Ubakin. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Cindy.